All right, we'll call the meeting to order, and we'll go ahead and stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and if we could, just have a moment of silent reflection for the tragedy in Las Vegas.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mrs. Hagenbusch, if you could call the roll, please.
Mr. Sams?
Present.
Mr. Knight?
Present.
Mrs. Bennett?
Present.
Mr. Yule?
Present.
Mrs. Webble?
Present.
Item 2, public participation. We didn't have anybody sign up. Does anybody wish to speak? Seeing none, move on to item 3, agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the agenda? Seeing none, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Item 4, board business. Do you want to discuss this prior to, or do you want to wait?
We can talk about it now.
Okay.
Yeah. Jay, can you approach this?
Yeah. What we're asking for approval today is the GMP. Just to clarify, the demolition of Cornerstone and Grill was really decided years ago. What this that you're accepting is really just the formalization of the price after CT Taylor went out and got bids. The original estimate for this was $950,000 or so.
$1,100,719.05.
How much?
$1,100,719.05.
Okay. I had a slightly different number.
Well, that I pulled that from the original one, yeah.
Okay. So our estimates came in quite a bit, or our bids came in quite a bit lower than that. So really this is just the formalization of accepting the bids that CT Taylor has put together for that.
And what was the final?
$459,460.61. That for the district, that's a savings of $314,216.64. That's our share of the savings.
Okay. So considerable savings.
Yes.
Stephanie, say that number again, our savings.
$314,000. And 216.64.
And just to clarify, this isn't extra money. This is money that was already budgeted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just want to clarify that.
And I think I want to add too that, you know, as part of our facilities plan, because I did get a question about this, is that part, you know, the state determined that these two buildings, it was not cost effective to add more money into those buildings, so that as part of our facilities plan with getting the new high school, this was what we had to accept in order to move forward. So I know it's a hard thing. It's going to be a very hard thing to see these buildings come down, especially for me personally, but it's part of what we had to do, and it's, you know, we're moving forward, and it's exciting for our district.
And even with the reconnecting of the utilities, we're still under the budget, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So how much did we save with that?
The reconnecting of the utilities is about $95,000 to $100,000. So basically you would take that off. So that means the district saved a little bit less than what Stephanie mentioned, because what we did is used that from a different pot of money. It's still the same pot of money, but in order to get those things moving quicker, the OSFC allowed us to basically do it as a change order on the project, but it's not truly a change order because that money was already budgeted.
So it looks like about $215,000.
And that even came in less than what we had expected.
Correct. That was about half of what our original estimate was as well.
So what's the timeline so that the public knows when this is all going to be down.
So we're currently starting the asbestos abatement because they need to get that started in order to get the building down before winter. You've probably seen a lot of digging and things going on. That's utilities getting prepared to get reconnected. That's scheduled to happen this Friday. So we're doing it's our first opportunity that we've had in a while that no buses are running. They're not running on Friday. They're not running on Monday. We don't anticipate using Monday, but it's a nice extra day in case something crazy happens. But they're hooking up the power on Friday, as well as the water and the sewer. It should all kind of happen in that same day. But they've done a bunch of prep work, so they're really just taking it down for a little bit and reconnecting. In terms of the demolition, we're looking at probably another couple weeks before they start. You might see them doing a little bit of salvaging. We are salvaging the one arch by Cleveland Masson Road on Cornerstone. And so before they actually start to take the building down, those fine pieces that they have to get out, they're going to probably start doing that. Saw the fence go up today. That was kind of a shock. People driving by saying, uh-oh, it's coming here pretty soon. But we will publicize when they really start to do taking down of the building. The other thing that we are going to do is provide, basically the best way to say it, a pile of bricks that we will also advertise out for people to come, you know, get a cornerstone brick. They were in the building. And when I have a better date on that, we'll do our best to get that out to the public.
We'll probably use all of our resources to let our public know, you know, maybe even something important enough for an all call, you know, just to let them know that tomorrow's really the day for Cornerstone or Grill, and reach out to people, let them know. We understand the significance. I'm a Grill grad. I know what that, you know, means for that building to come down.
Yeah. Sad, like Jennifer said, and exciting at the same time.
It is, yeah.
I think that if at all possible, there could be something on a Saturday so that as many people...
We're looking at that, and that's where we might see a little bit of some of those fine pieces that we're salvaging coming down, but we're going to try to see what it'll take to get the contractor in here on a Saturday and some of the big parts coming down so people can see. I know we're looking at possibly having the middle school come down maybe during the day, and if the weather's nice, they can, you know, kind of partake during their lunchtime watching some of the demolition happen as well.
That's going to be hard.
We'll keep them in the stands of the old stadium.
Because I think it'll be hard for children to see it, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just overly sentimental. I don't know.
Anything further?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I have a motion to approve Attachment A?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Mr. Sams?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Motion carries. Under committee reports, community engagement.
Yeah, the community engagement, we met a couple of weeks ago. We had five people in attendance and really just started with an open-ended conversation about the way that we're reaching out to our community. I think one of the first things that came up was the idea that I personally dove back into Facebook so that I could access the Norton Facebook. I've not had it for 6 years, ever since I became a building principal. I got off of Facebook. So I dove back in, worked on a community survey, you know, with the board that we got out, and realized within the first weekend we had over 4,000 views of the community survey. So, you know, hopefully I'm smart enough to realize that when that gets out there that quickly, that that's an avenue of community engagement. So I've used that on four or five occasions to get information out to our community. So that's becoming really valuable. Thanks to Angie for helping me get back onto Facebook and get caught up in that part of the social media world. So we continue to use Twitter. I do on behalf of the district. We have a brand new levy committee website that went live yesterday. And really our reach out to our community is for us to just work with them on the financial condition of the district And so I know Angie and her husband Todd especially worked with the levy committee and worked with Stephanie on everything that could go on to that site. It's an incredibly thorough site that explains quite a bit from the district's financial standpoint. And we talked at length that day about our school website, people's ability to come on and access information. And so since then, and I hope people have noticed, we've worked really hard with Angie on getting updated pictures. And every time we're out doing something, we're adding some pictures to that site. We'll continue to evaluate that. She and I, and probably other people interested, will continue to look at what other websites are doing that we think would benefit our stakeholders to have that. It's really something that in a resource-efficient district, sometimes the website can be the most difficult thing to get to, but we're recommitted to it. You know, in the midst of trying to evaluate everything that you're doing for a district, I really think that the entire group is working really hard at reaching out to our stakeholders right now. And I actually think that we're doing a really good job. Conversation-wise, the levy committee material, the school district itself, I think that we've had a pretty good fall in reaching out. So those are some of the things that happened in the community engagement meeting.
Okay. Well, yeah, just to back up, we probably should explain, that's my fault, that Mr. Addis has had a good suggestion in his leadership role of how we're kind of going about the committees and how he's engaging his administrative staff to help us as elected officials in our different committee reports. So,
what we wanted to do, what I asked the board to consider, was to take the board committees that we discuss at committee on the whole, and also turn those committees into a strategic analysis of the district and where we go, and put together a strategic plan for our future. And we are well on our way. And some of the committee reports you'll hear tonight, they've already established their goals for the entire year. And some of these goals will take us into 3 or 5 years down the road. So the goal in my reaching out to the board was, look at your committees that you have put together and allow us to look at our strategic planning as they pertain to those groups. Thankfully, they've afforded me that opportunity and I appreciate it. And as you'll see in the reports, all of the groups have met. All of them have begun to think about goals and action steps and timelines. And this is something that was needed in the district for us to really consider, where are we 5 years down the road with our operations and with our curriculum? And you'll see that in the reports tonight. So yeah. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah. Well, thanks to the board and the administrative staff. So Rob is responsible for community engagement.
Well, Dana, excuse me, covered it pretty good. One thing we did talk about was with the redoing the website, and I know Jennifer looked up like Solon and Hudson's websites that you thought was pretty good, did you know? And that would be like a question or something we could put on the website that we could change it periodically of things like that we could not brag about ourselves, but did you know different things about, you know, what's going on in the district or students or positive things, a way of getting different information out, which I think is a good idea. And I hope everybody else does also, but the other thing was, is we talked about Ohio Checkbook, which is where, I know Stephanie, you might be able to talk a little bit about that. It's something where the public can get on. And basically,
it's put on, and I don't remember if it's the Auditor of State or the Treasurer of State that's behind it. And it's basically making a copy of, we do our warrants every month, the board approves them, so our information is out there at our board level. This is taking it to, it's out there at a state level. Ours is, anybody can get on our website and see our warrants, and our warrants is basically the checks that we've written. The Ohio Checkbook is sending it to the, I apologize, I think it's the Treasurer of State, I don't think it's the Auditor of State that has it, and sending the information there, and then it's published on there. The issues that we have with it right now is we cannot send out any information about students. That's FERPA, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our purchase orders and our invoices reference students, and until we're comfortable that none of those will reference students, because we don't want to accidentally send out something that we shouldn't be sending out, nor do we want to pay our attorneys to redact every time we have to send this, until we're confident that we get it to where we're not sending out student information. It's something we haven't chosen to share yet. not that we won't, but we just have to make sure that it's very clear that we're not sending out information we shouldn't.
Another thing we were talking about also was different ways we can have like seniors reach out to the community, which would be good as far as engagement, and there was different ideas from raking leaves, which they probably wouldn't like that, but there's different ideas we could do senior reach out. Jennifer, you got anything to add? Did I cover it all? I think we did.
Good.
Okay.
So you talked about the senior. So we are doing, there are a couple of things that are important. One is on November 3rd, we're going to, our high school drama department is performing Peter Pan for the seniors in our community. And the Norton Women's Club is serving breakfast that morning. So we would ask the seniors in our community to look for that, reach out. And then on October 18th, we're having soup with the soup at 4:30 at the high school. And it's really just a way for the retirees and the seniors in our community just to get to know our administrative faces and some of our thoughts and goals, and that we do care about them. They're important members of our community. So thanks, Rob, for reminding me of that. We're working hard on reaching out.
Yep. That's it.
Wow, pretty productive. Technology and instruction, Jenna.
We've met a couple times. I think we have a good group established. We have goals and a lot of objectives, which I know Mrs. Oliveri has put together. Yeah, it's all on her computer there. I think she'll share it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I steal the cord? Go ahead. I'm sorry. We could have shared.
The first time was mid-September, and then we met most recently on the 5th of October. And when we first met, we decided to focus on, you know, who we wanted to participate as part of the committee. So you'll see that we have both Jennifer and Rob as our board members, Mr. Addis, myself, our gifted coordinator, Tricia Ebner. We have a parent who is also a teacher and she's in another district, Jody Dobbin. And then we have Brady for an administrator, Mr. Sackett. And then Miss Lisa Flynn, who's a middle school teacher. And then Jessica Williams, one of the high school guidance counselors. So when we first sat down, we decided who we were going to invite to participate in the committee. And we did have some pretty lofty goals with a lot of objectives. So at our most recent meeting, we talked about what our vision is in moving forward for the students in the district. So we decided that we were going to focus on, you know, those college and career ready experiences for the students. So as a group, we're going to talk and evaluate and improve those the educational rigor for all students in order to provide them an appropriate yet individualized college and career ready experience. You know, talking about funding, I think, you know, we've discussed that it's going to be, you know, kind of based upon how we end up with the levy and where that goes, but we're not going to necessarily make that, you know, our sole constraint. So in moving forward, we did set up a few timelines. Our first goal is to evaluate our curricular offerings in the district, in and amongst the fine arts, and how we're going to go about doing that. So you can see there's a couple of action steps there, and then talking to some neighboring districts, counselors reaching out to one another, other administrators, just to see comparative wise what other districts are offering as far as their fine arts, you know, art, music, those types of things. I know the second goal has been one that the board has been talking about for quite some time, developing and implementing another career technical program. So we've already taken some steps to looking and investigating what some options are. And we know that 2017-18, this particular school year, is really going to be developing that plan for the district with hopefully an implementation in the 2019-2020 school year. The path that we have chosen to kind of investigate has been the animal care program. We've already taken a visit to Medina County Career Center. I've had several conversations with Roger Wright, who is the compact director. We've had some conversations with Steve Christman, who is the administrator at the Medina County Career Center, and a couple of other things popped up along the line. So looking at that as our second goal, our third one, looking at our students who are gifted and talented and those who excel academically. As educators, we often tend to focus on those students who we know we need to work with to close the gap, but in the meantime, what are we doing and offering those students who are excelling academically? What options do we have for them? So our teachers are going to be receiving some gifted training, 30 hours this year, specifically designed for them, as well as continuing that next year. And one of the exciting things is we had 50 staff members who are participating in this program for our students. So they're receiving the training, so they're able to implement these strategies as far as moving forward with those students, which in turn is going to help us to meet that gifted indicator on our report card. The next one, looking at creating pathways to keep Norton students here on campus, all the while still receiving those college credits. So in moving forward with that, small steps that we're taking right now, all students, all freshmen and sophomores are gonna be taking the PSAT actually on Wednesday, like a testing day. And as a result of that, you're gonna see some information going home to parents, really stressing why we're doing it, what the benefits are, hoping to grow our academic program in the next year or two with adding some more AP courses. I don't know why that's doing that.
I'm hoping it's just the cable.
To offer them some more opportunities then to keep them in district. We also had some conversations about dual credit courses. We also had some conversations about distance learning, some different things. Moving forward, another ongoing goal, these last two are actually both going to be ongoing, ensuring that our teaching staff is using instructional materials that are aligned to our learning standards and providing them with that impactful professional development. Today actually is a pretty good example of what we did. We met with our math department as well as our high school language arts department, really delving into test scores, the resources that we're offering them, how to utilize those resources, and having some very candid conversations today about the path that we're going down and what we need to be focusing on, you know, the two-pronged attack, so to speak. Number one, what are our short-term goals? What can we start doing today, tomorrow, next week to help raise those test scores? And then once we get there, what are we gonna do to sustain those test scores? And then the last one is our report card. I know at the last meeting, Mr. Addis and myself, we touched on the results of the state report card, breaking that down, analyzing it, and using our resources then to start to make some growth in those areas. And tomorrow is actually one of those steps that we're going to be taking. Myself and three administrators are going to the county where we will be participating in a report card series, which will be an ongoing series that is led by former assistant state of the superintendent of the state. And she is going to be talking us through some methods and some research and things to kind of gear us down the path of what we can do within the district to help elevate those achievements pieces and meet those indicators. So I know it's a lot, you know, but I think we really came together as a group. We all agree that there are some specific things that we have to look at. And you know, some of the pieces and resources there, you may or may not be familiar with. You know, if you're not necessarily an educator, we tried to make it as clear as possible, but this is the path that we're embarking down, and it's going to be probably an arduous journey, but I think that, you know, with the minds and the brains that we have at the table, I think we're going to get there. So that's our end of it.
I think it's pretty exciting. I mean, there is a ton of information there, and it affects every student in our district, which I think only underscores the need to pass this levy, because there's a lot of stuff that, you know, Mrs. Oliveri, Mr. Addis has come up with, and it's really important that we pass the levy so that we can keep moving forward and doing these things. And especially the animal care program. I mean, that's something that's highly unlikely to happen without this levy passing. Thank you.
Good.
Can we have Angie update us on the technology committee? They've branched off from the curriculum. Thank you.
Everybody's got a PowerPoint. Who else on operations? It's Jake.
He's going to color, right? Oh, thank you. You can do a PowerPoint, just color.
Color next to that.
Creating a strategic plan like this and doing goals is actually nothing at all new for us in the tech department. Actually, I think even the first year I was here, we started, it was just one person per building primarily, teaching staff, administrators. We would meet and discuss any concerns, things going on in the building I need to be aware of, or any questions. And so I think maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we started a convocation day, handing out what were our goals for the year, who were our tech advisory committee members, just general information that they needed to know for the start of the year. So we are up to having 2 representatives at least from each building. The teachers kind of preferred that because sometimes our meetings are after school. Sometimes we do meet during, maybe twice a year, if that, for a half day. And so for their schedules, for them to be able to attend, we let them kind of trade off. So there's probably about 12 people on the committee. However, for this first meeting, we did not have everyone in attendance. It's kind of too many people anyway to really narrow down to what our goals were going to be. So the first thing I did with them was just look at our vision and say, this is what we've had in the past. Do you feel comfortable with this? Is this still something that you feel strongly and passionate about? And absolutely, yes, that was, they were still all good with that. Just mentioning funding there, we always try to be very fiscally responsible in what we do. We make sure we're getting multiple quotes. We do a lot of purchasing through our consortium, especially now with Chromebooks, it might be phones, anything like that. We do E-rate, which gives us funding back for many things. So we're always trying to be very fiscally responsible. And typically, not just infrastructure, but devices that are usually 5 years old, they come out of PI. So, you know, if it's, you know, supplies and things like that, that would come out of an operating cost, but, you know, large implementation and things, those come out of PI. So that's a separate fund for that. You'll notice under funding, one of the things that teachers are very passionate about for their students is having access to devices. So very long-term goal would be if there's any way we could get one cart per classroom so that every student in the classroom would have a device. You'll see that down in our goals as I go through these. So one of our first goals, and many of them will point to professional development, because obviously to use new technology, even if you have it, that doesn't mean that you're going to implement it as a teacher, and it doesn't mean that your kids are going to learn about it. So there's a strong professional development thread as you look through these goals. One of the things was making sure that staff knew of current opportunities for technology professional development. So I've already placed some links on the staff webpage so that I would update that as time goes on and link to different offerings for them. And then once a month, email that out and say, hey, don't forget to look if you need contact hours or you're looking for some professional development in something, here's where you can go to sign up and look at some offerings. So that would be something monthly that I would continue to do. Number two, 100% of the teachers having interactive whiteboards, which could be a smart board, it could be a Mimeo, it could be the interactive boards that they have at the high school now, that they would be using them for student-centered and grade-appropriate instruction. This is one of the first goals that we are using a baseline survey at the beginning of the year, and then we use a end-of-year survey so that we can kind of evaluate our growth in this as we're doing professional development throughout the year. Are we progressing? So actually just today, I had confirmed with the committee how that survey would look. So we're sending out a Google form to all teaching staff, and they complete that, and we can kind of say, okay, this is where we are right now. You know, at the end of the year, how far have we come with that? And obviously there would need to be professional development throughout this year and ongoing years to help them progress with that. Number three, 75% of instructional staff in grades 1 through 12, I'll get to kindergarten in a second, using some sort of common online tool. You know, as kids go to college or maybe they go to a job where they're using some sort of online training, it's good for them to have an experience with an online learning management system, whether it be Blackboard, Springboard. Google Classroom is one that is free, and it's awesome because they seek teacher input. So here we can not spend any money on something, still have an online classroom for students and teachers to utilize. Whether they're differentiating lessons, they're giving content to specific students to help boost them up, kind of like Amy was talking about, you know, the kids that are ready to move on to more, giving them something different, and then also the students that are struggling and maybe they need to revisit a lesson. Providing information. The teacher may be just sharing out some things that might be helpful for students to know. They can provide assessments through this manner and communicate in various ways. So that's another one of our goals that's in our baseline survey that we sent out today. The reason kindergarten, you'll see down here, is not necessarily included in that goal is because obviously they're still learning their letters, and just them trying to get signed into the computers is a lot to learn that first year. And so we kind of set a goal that they would be able to sign in independently at the end of the year themselves. So that's where kindergarten falls into the mix. Number five is in regards to providing a Chromebook cart, grades 1 through 12, really striving to reach that goal to give teachers devices so that they can count on them being there when they need to use them. It's hard to tell a teacher, you know, we want you to expose students to things, but yet you'll have to sign out something and hope that you can get it on the day you want to do your lesson. We're going to be working on looking at our PI funds and seeing, you know, how we can work that in. We always look at grants. Matter of fact, if you look off of the quick links on our webpage, you'll see that we have a district profile, and you can look at some of the things, just a small number of some of the grants that we've received for various initiatives. And so we always keep that open for technology as well. Number six is just providing more support to staff with troubleshooting. Whether it's software, hardware, professional development tips. One of the big things, actually two or three of the big things that came out of this was teachers really want to learn from other teachers. It's very obvious. They want to learn from their peers, someone that's teaching something similar, using something similar. Hey, this has worked for me. I think it might work for you. And they can relate to one another in that learning process. Their best time for receiving that is on a professional development day. So we're looking at, hopefully, in the February PD day, having some professional development sessions during the teacher day where they can learn new things and have the time to utilize those and learn from their peers and have their peers present that information to you, to them. Also, as far as tips and tricks, some of these tech advisory members you know, might be interested in learning some extra things like troubleshooting initially. So like if someone's having an issue, you know, there's a couple of things you can check right away. You know, are the cables all still connected? Is everything, when was the last time you restarted your computer? So just some basic troubleshooting tips that someone in the building might be able to kind of help them out with. We're trying to kind of investigate if there's a way to do that, if there's staff that are willing to learn some of those things. So that is what we have for technology. Like I said, there's a lot for professional development to be said in there, because if the teachers aren't, you know, trained and using the technology, then you know it's easy to pass along to the students. So
thank you.
Yep.
Technology or instruction?
Operations.
I'll start, and you can pick up the pieces if I forget anything. But obviously, the other committees have had great conversations, and so did operations. And we had a great group, you know, from the board, it's Cindy and I, and then administrators that were part of the meeting was Dana, Stephanie, Jake. We also had Chief D'Alessandro, Chief Schultz from our city safety forces. We had a business owner, Mr. Little, that was supposed to attend but got stuck in Florida somewhere, I think. Yeah. So then there were who else was, I'm
Mr.
sorry,
Sackett.
Mr. Sackett was part of that as well. And, you know, operations is kind of the, you know, the technology and instruction, great meetings. You guys have been busy all through the transitions. Operation is no different. The buildings are starting to settle. Things are starting to settle in place, and there's a lot of things after the fact, right, that need attention. So our goal was similar to the other committees, is trying to, you know, put a plan together, a five-year forecast, what, you know, prioritize things. That goes from everything from our current buildings that students have moved into, to some facilities that we've moved into that may need some changes. And I'm kind of giving broad spectrums because we didn't prioritize anything yet, with the goal of just trying to get another meeting together, everybody have time to think about it, and hopefully in the near future we'll have more of a five-year plan. But you know, most importantly, when you I think we talked about it, when you build new buildings, now, you know, those buildings are done. Now we got to focus on our older buildings and keeping those maintained, and take care of the needs of those to keep them looking good and safe for our students. So that was one of the primary things, along with our buses and our bus fleet. We do have an aging bus fleet. And something that I don't remember talking about in operations, other than minimally, and I've only been on it 2 years, is, you know, making sure that we keep the money or place the money in a budget where, you know, when a bus is really needed to be replaced, we replace it, and be cognizant of the spending and make sure that we spend it appropriately. So high level, because we don't have any direct objectives that we placed out there other than a list of things to think about, talk with each other, and come back next time. And our goal next time is to try to prioritize those with a little bit more information. Mr. Stone King wasn't there as well because he was out, which was a big reason that we didn't have detail on the buses. But Jake, you can fill in for me on anything I may have missed. Again, I was trying to keep it high level.
We definitely kept ours a little bit broad, more broad compared to the other two committees that have presented so far. Mainly, I mean, you're coming right off this huge transition. You build a new complex. There's been a huge focus in this district on facilities. So to get through that transition, kind of take a step back and say, all right, what do we need to look at now? Where's some of the smaller projects we might want to handle? Are there some big ones that we want to handle? I mean, there's one pot of money. Angie Talk Technology comes out of the PI. Buses come out of the PI. So do facility improvements. So kind of getting a large scale look at, what do we want to do? Do we want a bunch of small projects? Do we have one big project we'd like to do? So we really did keep it that broad in terms of trying to get back to the next meeting and really hone in on some goals. We kind of separated it out into three, like, facilities. We had a facilities discussion, a transportation discussion, and then we did talk in depth about some safety and security things that we'd like to do. And that's where having both Chief D'Alessandro and Chief Schultz on the committee is going to be great. We did set a few goals. Chief D'Alessandro and I have already sat down to kind of start to talk about police presence in the building. When are we going to maybe have some drills, things like that. So we're going to see some of that coming, coordinating with principals, getting some of those things scheduled. I'm starting to put together a more district safety committee that would in turn then work with the police and fire chief on redeveloping some of our strategies in the buildings for our safety procedures, like lockdown, fire evacuation, shelter in place, things like that. We have a software package that we are a member of the company called Navigate that we put into place on a broad spectrum, but there's a lot of tools in there we'd like to now implement in our buildings. So getting some of those, what they call flip charts, together, which are the safety procedures, and really unifying the district so that all the buildings are operating in safety situations very similar. The police and fire are comfortable with those, so that we can really work in a situation, if we ever have to, you know, as one team and not, you know, kind of disjointed. So those are some of the things that we discussed, and we want to get a little more specific goals like we see in the other five-year plans, and then we can start to break down action steps and things like that.
Great meeting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it seems like everybody's had a great meeting and we're all heading in the right direction, but it was fantastic and look forward to the next one.
Part of that, your operations, did you talk about
the stadium, what uses could be, or because I saw the tall fence is gone. Now you just have the short fence. Is there any?
Yeah, that tall fence is coming out for the road widening. So that was taken down because it was coming out anyways. In terms of, we didn't really discuss in that meeting any uses for the stadium. I mean, right now we're using it as a district for extra practice field. I know the band uses it. But in terms of the future of that property, we didn't really get into that at all.
There was no property specific. It was more of just the whole concept. I mean, there was really no specific other than a few of the things to follow up.
We did a lot of brainstorming. Sure. I mean, really it was just that initial meeting of that group. That group operating in this way is going to be different for the operations committee. We didn't really get down and make goals before. It was really more of a functional group to, you know, work through some transportation issues and things like that. And we'll still use that committee to look at some transportation things in terms of specific operations of bus stops and things that get requested. But really, we want to just get the committee together, kind of start the brainstorming process, and hopefully the next meeting, which is in a couple weeks, we can start finalizing on some goals.
Cindy, do you have anything?
Most of what we need to do is it's all budget related. So everything that we need to do, you know, windows, this or that, we need you to come back with how much it costs.
Yeah.
And we need to prioritize those. So that's what we kind of talked about at the end too.
Anything else?
I guess just as a final statement, Jake and I are going to a Navigate safety training tomorrow. Navigate seems to be the system in the state of Ohio that is earning the trust of many school districts. I went to a presentation in Columbus last week, and Jake talked a little bit about the flip cards, and it's a company that has really thought of every single thing that a district employee would need to know, and how do we best administratively apply that to that person. So next meeting, we'll be able to report back a little bit from our meeting tomorrow.
Did you guys bring up the SRO conversation again?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are we at with that?
Well, at this point, when I met with Chief last week, Dana was in Columbus at a meeting. So he presented some figures, really is just for Dana and Stephanie to kind of look at. Here's the cost of an SRO. I don't think anybody said it was a bad idea to have an SRO, but
well, you said Chief did point out that every other district that has one, the city pays for it.
Yeah,
almost all of them. So that's the big difference here.
That's part of the balance that school district and cities work through is cost, and you know, we're working closely with Chief on that, and you know, again, we're talking about an important levy that's coming up just in a few weeks that's going to play a role in that.
Was there any more grants, or I mean, are we going after any sort of?
I think we can always continue to look for that, and I know he's worked hard on the grant that our city has received for that, so we'll just continue to look at those to see if we can do that.
What's the comparison, or is there a comparison with, like, I wasn't in the committee, but is there like a comparison with open enrollment school districts versus non-open enrollment school districts with SROs?
Or? No, I just reached out really to probably close to 20 districts, and when I'm telling everyone, they're all over the place in terms of payment. Many of the districts have an SRO. I think I ran into two that do not. Their roles are varied too.
Yeah.
You know, they'll have one that is just goes in and out of buildings, and then some will have one that's committed to a building. The city of Cuyahoga Falls has one that is shared by Walsh and Woodridge and Cuyahoga Falls High School. So, and the payment on how that person is financed is different. You know, there's one small community where the city pays for that person and not the school district. There are others where it's shared cost. So, you know, we're still working through that process, but we're seeing many different models that are out there for people to consider, for the district and the community to consider.
Yeah, thanks for looking into it. It's
one thing I spoke with a Norton police officer, it wasn't Jason, that they had a really good idea as far as he said it would be nice if the police officers could come to the school for lunch you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's a, you know, I didn't realize, you know, that would be a way to get them in the buildings and stuff if they could come to for lunch at different buildings and stuff like that. That's a great idea. I didn't,
yeah,
we should encourage. I don't know if how that would work with the chief or.
I think that they would love it. I think one thing that everyone needs to know is that that role has changed. It, you know, a police officer in a building, I've been in two buildings where that person has been there. It's a changed role. It can really be someone that some of our students rely upon for thoughts and advice. And, you know, if this happens in the real world, how does this happen? You know I use an SRO as an assistant principal to go talk to kids when I felt like they needed just a good lesson on law enforcement. It's changed from that scary person walking around a building to someone who is collaborative with the adult leaders in the building. So there's a lot with it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a relationship.
It's a total relationship, yeah.
And I think I got my own take, I think, with everything that's gone on and recent events this past week. And I see Norton as a hub for success and just trying to build that relationship. And, you know, I just don't want that to go away. I know that we have an expense here, and, you know, whatever we can do to try to continue to work.
It's right on our plates right now. You know, we're looking heavily at it, and it's on my mind, and I'm talking to as many people as possible, obviously, you know, at some point to bring it to you guys.
Thanks.
But we're doing a lot of good work with it.
Anything else with finance? It's always a tough one. Who wants to touch that one?
Go ahead.
Well,
Cindy,
myself, Mr. Addis, and Mrs. Hagenbusch met, and
Cindy.
I said Cindy for. I'm sorry.
That's for policy. I thought you were on finance.
Yeah.
Oh, you're skipping over to policy.
Well, finance is next, number four.
You said Cindy. Oh. Are you on finance?
Oh, I'm sorry. Finance with Lewis. I apologize. I'm sorry.
I just want to make sure in case you call.
No. No, I apologize with Lewis. I have my notes backwards here, but with Lewis. But that was a heavy meeting, and we went over the 5-year forecast. And Mrs. Hagenbusch is, I believe, going to go through some of this here, and I'll get out of the way again.
I apologize for that.
You guys see that?
Yeah.
Not right now.
Okay, I'm taking a different look at this. Same look, just making it look a little easier for you guys to look at. Basically, when we went through the forecast, it's still reflecting we need a levy. There's nothing that's changed about that. If you see, is this working? No, it's not. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm circling it on my computer if anybody can see what I'm doing up here. I'm pointing to the number in the lower left corner. That's where we're predicted to end this year, 181,144. Unfortunately, it's not a good number. But it's showing that, yes, we do have the need for the levy. Nothing has changed. That's where we're at. A couple of things to look at in the forecast. There we go. That is the forecast if you want to look at those numbers.
If anyone can read them.
Really slow. There we go. This is a quick snapshot of our revenues. You see there, real estate makes up 34% of our revenues. The unrestricted aid, 34%, property tax allocation, 5%, and restricted aid, 2%. That 41% of that's what's paid by the state to us. They pay all of those. And then the other revenue makes up the difference of that. Everybody has seen lately, I'm sure you've received your, I don't know why this isn't moving. You've received your tax bills. Every 6 years, the state of Ohio goes through and revalues everybody's property. And then every 3 years, they just do an update based on sales in the county. Summit County's reevaluation was this year in 2017. The average values of homes went up 8%. I had predicted 5% last year. So our percent increase over what was predicted last year is only a 3% increase. But what you have to keep in mind is we don't actually collect that money on those increases. In the 70s, when we had double-digit inflation, the state of Ohio enacted what's called House Bill 920. And that's saying that schools can never collect more than what was originally voted in that levy. So even though we go for a millage levy like our last one at 1.9, and let's say it collects $1 million, that's the most we can ever collect on that levy. Property values can go through the roof, but we'll never collect more than that. So even though it looks like your tax bills are going up, it's not coming to the school. It's actually going to the police or the fire department, the city, the other places that are collecting taxes, the libraries, but it's not coming to the school district. The only new money that the school district can receive on property taxes is new construction. And if you look around Norton, we haven't had a lot of new construction lately. Hopefully there's some farms that may sell and we'll have some new houses, but we won't collect any money on anything else. The state budget, you've heard us talk about that. It's a two-year budget. We're doing a five-year forecast based on what the state's going to tell us for 2 years. So all we know for sure is what's going to happen in the next 2 years. They've increased the basic aid $10 per pupil. Norton State share that we get, it's $6,010. We only receive 44% of that. Kind of like with the building project, we receive 51%, only have to pay 49%. Here we only receive about 45%. So out of that $10 per pupil, that's an increase. We're only getting $449 per resident student, or about $4
$4 extra. $4.49.
What did I say?
$449.
Oh, yes.
We like that number better.
Yeah, I do like that number better.
Yes, I would like that. It's wishful thinking on my part always. Yes, $4.49 per resident student. So although you may hear that funding has gone up, that's about what it equates to for us. And then you saw the other line item that was 22% of our budget. That's payment for the bus maintenance agreement that we have with Barberton. That's the open enrollment and the excess costs that we bill back to other districts if their special ed students would come here. And then any rental payments that we would have or miscellaneous payments that we would receive. That makes up the portion that's considered other. I am hitting the next button here. Angie, we may have to talk about computers. Okay, there we go. Expenditures. This one in a nutshell, salaries 59%, benefits 23%. It makes up 82% of our budget. I know that looks just crazy that, oh my gosh, all your money's going to people, but that's what we do here. We educate students, and the only way we can do that is through people. We don't buy widgets, we don't make anything, we don't sell anything. This is the only thing that we do is provide service to our students. So yes, it is 82% of our budget. Just kind of wanted to throw that out there. We can save money on purchase services, we can save money on supplies and material and capital outlay as much as we want, but we just have to remember what we do here is we educate students, and we value the people that educate students, and that's where that money goes. For our expenditures.
Stephanie, isn't that 82%? I mean, isn't that pretty consistent with every
it
district?
It absolutely is. School districts, they run between 80 and 85%. We're looking at expenditures. We look at our forecast. It's scary. It's a scary number that we're looking at. Dana and I have gone through that. We've talked about it. We've frozen this year all discretionary spending at this point. Not to say that things won't happen and we won't get the things that we need, but we're just saying, hey, talk to us about this. Let's take a second look at that. We're gonna buy you the supplies you need for your chemistry classroom, but maybe everybody doesn't need a purple marker this year. Let's just look at what we're doing. So we're just trying to keep people aware that all capital purchases, usually we have about $50,000 that we take out of our operating money for little things that we're not just gonna take out of PI, because we like to go out to the public and say, we purchased these large things, you know, these whole classroom of computers or this big this, and we don't want to say, yeah, we purchased, you know, four chairs or something that we've needed. But so those little things kind of ran through our operating budget. We froze that. Everything will come out of PI instead of capital. Sorry, Angie, that hits computers and buses at this point, but we're kind of looking at that. And then we continue, as we always have done, to evaluate all the areas of operation that we have here. Good examples are consortiums. Angie talked about that earlier with buying supplies. We have a consortium for our insurance. When we joined that 6-7 years ago, I don't remember exactly when we joined that consortium, we saved over $3 million. in the first 3 years that we were in the consortium, so it does have huge buying power. Our utilities we purchase through, is it Ohio Schools Council?
Yeah, they do all the bidding for us.
We do that, and then other supply purchases. If we buy buses, we buy them through Ohio Schools Council. ODE has a lot of different consortiums that we can join or that we can be a part of for large purchases, like Angie said, with the computers and all that. Then we have our shared services. We do the bus maintenance. I'm sure you've heard us talk about that for Barberton. So they don't pay mechanics. We pay the mechanics, we buy the stuff here, and then we bill them back for half of that, some overhead, and then all the supplies that they use. So we're not operating two facilities. We buy all the fuel for the city of Norton, and then we just charge them for what they use. But we have the fuel pumps, and we maintain those. But then they, in turn, buy the salt supply, so they store that and pay to get it here and all that, and then we just pay for what we need. So we try to do those as much as we can, any ways that we can save money. We look at that. This, I'm being very optimistic. When our levy passes, this is what our forecast will look like. So if you look down at that bottom line, that's where we would end this year. This, remember, we were at 181,000. It would get us to 604,000, and then all the way out through the 5 years in the five-year forecast, we would still have a carryover balance at the end of the time of $638,000 remaining where we're at right now. Now, you got to remember, I took out some supplies and some other things, so it means we still have to be very diligent. But once the levy passes, again, we will continue to evaluate all the areas of the operations that we have, as we've done for years.
So finance is a tricky area to make sure that we're all being diligent and staying focused with people's money. But I know Lewis was in our committee. Do you have anything to add to that?
I mean, the big thing is this. I all the evidence is there. The facts are there. That Norton City Schools has been fantastic at being fiscally responsible. It's proven through state audits, through our records that we have on the levy committee, as far as being transparent. The last thing that I think anybody on this board or anywhere want to do is tax the citizens. I mean, that we're all citizens, and it's the last thing that you want to do. However, when you look at a public school district, unfortunately, that's part of it. And whether you're a citizen that's had a kid that goes through the community or through Norton City Schools, you're a citizen that went through Norton City Schools yourself, whatever the occasion may be, it's very, very important that we realize that all the people that we have served after and now us have been fiscally responsible, and we have kids, which is the most important thing of all. I mean, the pie chart shows the salaries of teachers, but ultimately those teachers spend more time with our kids than sometimes parents do. And it's very important that this levy passes. I mean, it's huge, and I don't know what more proof that we can provide of being fiscally responsible. And unfortunately, the funding that we've lost from the state, there's nothing more we can do than ask for help from our citizens and thank them afterwards. And hopefully everybody gets the word, gets the message, and let's take one snapshot, and that's of our kids, because it's our future. So that's all I have.
You want to touch on finance anything further?
No, I think that was it.
And then we'll continue to meet and go through this and just continue to evaluate. But it's a tough committee to be on. Now, I apologize, policy.
Policy's a little bit different. I don't know what kind of goals you can do policy. Because they are the company that does it for us, the Ohio School Board Association. They review all the policies. They give us the changes, we review them, and like some of the big changes this time were the Office of Budget and Management change to the Office of Management and Budget. So you got a few of those going through here, you know, it's like kind of silly, but I don't know. But there's an advisory a business advisory council to the board that's ESC started, and we're going to be participating in that. One thing in here too is charter schools. They've expanded that. Whenever we sell a property, we have to give charter schools the first chance to buy it. Well, now they've extended that to STEM and STEAM schools too. There's just some date changes, that kind of thing. It really is pretty boring, to say the least. You know, we had just implemented a new one too, so that there was no change of that. And we did talk about the Narcan. Dana is researching that along with other things, but he is seeing what other schools' policies are, you know, who administers that, how that's all handled. Since it's so new, he's reaching out to all the other school districts around. And that's our best resource, is other school districts. So that's about it. You don't have anything to add to that?
School nurse has done some work on the Narcan, some very valuable work, just in terms of what she has discovered and what other districts are doing as well. So,
okay.
Continued conversation in that area.
Just a question. The Narcan, can somebody explain, is that primary source for a student that would come to school that would be over? I mean, can you guys expand upon that a little bit?
I will say primarily districts have gone to it for events at their building more than anything else.
Makes sense.
And then some districts have chosen to do it and really sort of remain quiet about it. Others have, you know, their relationships with police officers that are close by and able to do it. A couple of districts have trained people, whether or not it be a school nurse or a principal.
ADs.
Yeah, athletic director. So it really has not been primarily for a student who is in that building. It's been primarily for events that occur on those grounds where you have adults that attend events.
So if we have police officers at all these events, maybe you can answer this, Jason. Do police officers carry it on them, or is it in their vehicle?
It's in their vehicle, and really we only have them at the high school, boys, football. And,
no, yeah. I know, I'm just
but
asking.
No, it's mainly in their duty bag on patrol, typically.
And then the other question I have, is there any additional liability that the district takes on by providing this?
That I don't know. It's something now that's available over the counter.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, so,
okay.
And there's really,
I don't know.
There's that. You know, there. I can't say that there's not anything that can go wrong, but if you administer it to someone, let's say you would administer it to someone who is not experiencing that, it's not going to hurt that person.
There's no.
Next question.
Yeah, there's no. You can give it to anybody, but it's. It's just, you know, I brought it up, you know, there's the elephant in the room. I brought it up is just because my personal experience with it, you know, even officers are having to give it to themselves now because they come in contact, you know, with a certain drug. And it's just our zip code, if you read Ohio.com this weekend, our zip code was the highest again. So it's just a tough situation. I mean, you know, Cindy and I were at the event locally. I mean, she saw what personal effects it had on people here, and it's a tough situation. So,
you know, schools have to deal with this from time to time. You know, the defibrillators, we worried about those coming into our buildings, and we worried about, are we going to hurt someone if we use it incorrectly, and it was constructed in a way where it speaks to you and tells you exactly what you have to do, and now they're a part of the fabric of every single school system. So, you know, just
sad state of the world,
it is.
I guess.
It is.
So I'm just glad we're looking into it, and I'm glad we're open to it, and that's all. Thank you. Anything else on policy?
No.
Item 5, superintendent's recommendation. Anything further?
No, we're fine. Thank you.
Anything else from the board? All right. Item 6, adjournment. Any motion to adjourn then? Call the roll, please.
Mr. Sands?
Yes.
Mr. Yule?
Yes.
Mrs. Webble?
Yes.
Mrs. Bennett?
Yes.
Mr. Knight?
Yes.
Thank you for coming.